Welcome to the Early Accountability Podcast hosted by Kimmy Walker. Kimmy has a track record of serving as a behavior change and improvement catalyst for individuals, groups, and organizations. Get ready to make the best version of yourself a priority. Now welcome Kimmy Walker.
Kimmy Walker here, and welcome to tonight's episode of the Early Accountability Podcast. My guest for this evening is Ananda Leek. Ananda is a mindfulness guru. She discovered mindfulness when her career as a young lawyer and investment banker did not produce the level of success she expected. Today, she helps people and organizations outsmart stress, tap into creativity, and have a healthy relationship with technology as the chief mindfulness officer of her own consulting agency and the host of Thriving Mindfully podcast. Hi, Ananda. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Kimmy, for having me. I am excited about talking to you and sharing with your wonderful audience.
We are very, very excited to have you. I am very big on mindfulness. I have done some things with mindfulness with my nonprofit, Nubian Wellness, and my job. I've created some mindfulness initiatives. So I definitely know the benefits of it, but I would love for you to share with us how you discovered mindfulness for yourself. And what does mindfulness to you, when you say mindfulness, what is the definition of it for you?
Okay, so the short story of how I discovered it was when I was taking a bar exam 8 times, 4 years in a row after graduating from Howard University School of Law and getting a graduate law degree from Georgetown University Law Center, I started being stressed out like many folks that take the bar exam and pursue a career in law. And so that stress just increased as time went on. And finally, I hit the wall. When I was working in finance in the DC government, and as well as the job right after that as an investment banker for a woman-owned investment banking firm here in DC. And it was a therapist that recommended that I practice mindfulness because I was having panic attacks, and she wanted me to use that as an alternative to medication she was going to prescribe if things didn't change. And I'm not saying that medication doesn't work or that you shouldn't have it. It was just that was my option at the time. So I use meditation, journaling, and mindful movement in the form of yoga to develop some practices to help me deal with stress. And it's 26 years later, and it has been working, and it helps me manage. Because I saw how powerful it was in my life, I decided to use what I've learned in my natural gifts as a teacher to share that mindfulness is our human birthright. All of us are born with it. It becomes a practice when we choose to pay attention to what's happening in our spirits, our hearts, our minds, our bodies, and our surroundings on purpose, in the present moment and without judgment. And so mindfulness simply is the ability to be aware of what's happening inside and outside of ourselves. And when we slow down and we practice mindfulness, whether it's through one of the mindful activities of yoga, meditation, journaling, even slowing yourself down and being mindful of washing the dishes or taking a mindful moment, using your breath, when we do that, we slow ourselves down so that we can begin to hear what is happening and notice what is happening in our minds. It's not to push the thoughts away, it's to become aware and to notice the patterns. And then in that noticing, we can begin to make some different choices in our responses. And I say that when we practice mindfulness, it becomes the gateway to who we truly are. It brings us closer to ourselves.
What relationship do you feel technology has with mindfulness?
It has a couple of relationships. And I can tell you as someone who is a social media expert that it can support and distract. you know, depending on your choice and how you use it. And it has supported and distracted me and currently does that as well. So you're talking to somebody that lives in both worlds of support and distract. The way that it can support us is that there are so many different functions on our smartphones. I think most of your audience may have a smartphone or use some part of their phone to use alarms. You can set alarms as reminders to take a breath, to get up and move, to shut things down for the evening, to go take a walk, to just breathe. You can use your apps. There's all kinds of mindfulness apps that are free and some are paid that are online that can help you begin a meditation practice or support you. There are all these wonderful videos and how-to YouTube videos that you can access, or Vimeo. So many different resources online that we can go to, talks about mindfulness, meditations, music. It can become a distraction because we all live in this age of being connected 24/7, 365. Many of us are having to be connected for long periods of time for our careers as well as for our family. And it may keep us from being present to what's happening in front of us. Even walking across the street, we see so many people walking down the street or even driving connected to their phones. We are so focused on the technology and what's happening in these small little computers in our phones or either on our laptops or other tablets that we may miss the folks in front of us. We are busy multitasking, so our productivity may decrease. I truly believe that when we focus on one thing at a time, you get the full attention of it. You may not be hearing everything if you're in a meeting and you're typing, you're looking at your phone. It may take you longer to complete activities because your attention is all over the place, as opposed to focusing right there on the person, the project, the conversation. So yeah, it can be a distraction in so many different ways, as well as a support.
Okay, so how could someone get started with mindfulness, practicing it? How could they make that a habit?
Well, the first thing that I like to do when I'm working with newbies, folks that are new to mindfulness, is that I like to have them do an exercise. And if your listening audience is willing, I'll just give it. And if they want to pause the recording when they listen to it, they can, or they can just use it in their own time and space. So generally, what I like to do is ask people to just stand up. Don't think about it, just stand up. Most times when we stand up, that's if you're able to get up. I don't want to assume that everybody's able to stand. If you are able to stand, stand up. And if you are not able to stand, just raise your hands up. Don't think about it. Just automatically raise them up. That's if you can raise your hands. If those are not options, open and close your eyes. We don't think about these movements. We just do them. We just do them naturally. The next exercise I would encourage people to try is rise up and stand slowly, noticing how your body is getting up, just paying attention, doing it slowly. Not just automatically, and noticing how your body feels. The same with if you're unable to stand and you want to just raise your hands up. Slowly raise your arms, your hands, and just notice your body. The same goes for opening and closing your eyes, or closing and opening your eyes. That's probably the better direction. Just slowly closing your eyes and then gently opening your eyes and thinking about it. One activity, we just do it automatically. The second activity, we're thinking, we're focusing, we're paying attention. And that happens when we choose, when we slow down and we choose to pay attention.
How long did you have to start practicing mindfulness before you started to see results?
I would say it took me maybe, because I was hard pressed. So I was really hard pressed. I was doing it quite a bit. And my entry into mindfulness was meditation. So I would say probably about a month of meditating in the morning, the afternoon, and the evening. I was going at it hard because I did not want to take medication. And I needed to do it three times a day because the level of anxiety, for me, it calmed me down. It calmed me down. I would do a sitting meditation and then a walking meditation. You know, I'm fortunate I live in a place where it's really nice to walk. There's a park up the street. So using my outside environment helped a lot, getting into nature and then slowing down and walking and using that. So I would say about a month, but it varies for everybody. You know, okay. It's not a race. That's the one thing I want to say to folks is that it's called a practice because it's a practice. Right. And it's not a competition. It's not a competition with yourself. It's not about overachieving. For me, I started with, I just needed help. I was willing to try whatever I needed to try because I did not want to live the way that I was living. And I was convinced that I had to do something.
So you were a lawyer and investment banker. And I assume you're still technically, I guess, have those skills. Mm-hmm. When did you transition into the work that you do now completely?
So the mindfulness piece as a mindfulness professional started happening in, I would say, it came through my writing and my art. And I started writing my first novel, which is a yoga-inspired novel about a person that's kind of like me, but not like me. And so that was in 1997, and I was starting to make the transition then. And then I would say my first professional certification came in 2001 when I became a healing artist, and I started working as an artist in residence for Smith Center for Healing and the Arts. And that experience allowed me to use my creative writing and my mixed media art skills to work with people living with cancer, HIV, AIDS, and other long-term illness at Howard University Hospital. And it continued on to Walter Reed National Military Medical Center. And it was through that I decided to deepen my healing arts work and become a yoga teacher in 2006. And then I became a Reiki master in 2008. And I combined all of that with creativity coaching in 2009 and 10. And that paved the way for me to teach meditation, teach yoga, teach and coach people through creativity and blocks. And as I was doing it, I realized all of what I'm doing is mindfulness. You know how you're doing something and you don't realize it? You're just in the midst of it. And about a year ago, my brother, Miko Whitlock, was beginning a year-long course in becoming a mindfulness teacher with the Engage Mindfulness Institute. And he was telling me about the initial prep work that he was doing and suggested gently that I consider it. And I said, oh no, I can't do another course. Well, over the period of about maybe a week or two, I kept getting these wake up calls at 3 a.m. that said, go check it out, do it, do it, do it. And that's, I call it spirit. People call it your intuition. I fought it, but I eventually signed up for it. And I spent a year in a wonderful training by the Engage Mindfulness Institute to become a 300-hour mindfulness teacher, which really what it did was it gave me a whole year to study and focus in on mindfulness with a community, with a great faculty, and in my own personal life, my personal development. And it brought up my stuff. And so I was also able to study mindfulness in a deeper way and take what I've learned over the last 20-plus years and really steep myself in this practice. For me, it was one of the best investments that I resisted mostly through the entire period. You know, I was always resisting something. And that's just a sign to me that I need to dig in a little bit deeper because there's a reason for the resistance.
Mm. Mm-hmm. When we talk about the resistance, I think that's really good. What are some ways, if other people are experiencing that, they could dig in a little bit deeper with themselves?
Well, the first question that I've learned to ask as a result of one of my spiritual teachers, Michael Bernard Beckwith, Reverend Michael Bernard Beckwith, with Agape in Los Angeles, is what is seeking to emerge within me. When you are resenting, resisting, judging, for me, that is the question that comes up. I can even hear his voice, you know, saying it. And I've used his wisdom as a tool in my life to go deeper. Now, I don't always answer the question. I'm like, yeah, right, and keep it moving. But it comes back and it allows me to open up and to surrender just in asking that question. And sometimes, like recently, as last week, I was dealing with some challenging experiences, and every hour on the hour, I had a little card that I looked at. I was like, what is seeking to emerge within me? Because this is not feeling good, you know, and this experience right. is not here, but I've attracted it. And being mindful about using that question when I used it on the hour of every hour for a couple of days, y'all. What started to happen is that the resistance, it didn't go away completely, but it softened me. It kind of like, if your shoulders are all the way up, you know, a lot of times when I get angry or tense, my shoulders all the way go up to my ears. And what happened was I noticed my shoulders were coming down, they were softening. And so for me, when I'm speaking to folks about mindfulness, I start with the body because our bodies, I think, our first connection to what's happening inside of us. You feel it in your gut. You feel it. You can feel the tension, the stress.
A big one, I think, like you already said, is just keeping in mind it's a journey. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean necessarily one day you'll stop taking that time to reflect and still work on you. I know I say that a lot with people about wellness or healing in general, mm-hmm. that we kind of always have to still do our work. It may look different at different points in our lives, but we're still kind of doing something. I wanted to ask about, now, when you say social media, is your expertise in a mindfulness approach with social media or?
Yeah, it is. It's after years of being in digital communications from the 90s till now, I've been fortunate to work with a number of clients and organizations that haven't always had a lot of resources and a lot of team members or staff to support their efforts, but wanting to do, you know, a great job and to make their presence known. And in many cases, in under-resourced organizations with a small team, folks may often be overworked. And so using a mindfulness approach to social media, especially when your time is precious and it's, you need 38 hours and all you have is 24, you know, you're always looking for those extra hours. It helps, and it helps to streamline and get to what the real message is, and also to do it in a way where people are able to have a healthy relationship with the technology and not hurt themselves in the process of doing that.
Talk about the books that you've written.
Sure. So I mentioned earlier a yoga-inspired novel. That book is called Love's Troubadours, a wonderful novel about a yoga teacher and an art consultant and former museum curator, Karma Francois, who is originally from Oakland, California. And she makes her way into New York City, has this big-time museum curator job. She gets caught in the crossfire of a restructuring, and she loses it. And she doesn't have a plan B like a lot of us. Hmm. And she is forced to leave New York City for financial reasons, and she really doesn't have any viable options to rebuild except in relocating to Washington, D.C., where she has family and she can stay in a place for free and rebuild her life. And so when she comes to D.C., she's struggling with denial. She's struggling with depression as well as debt. And she is able to craft a gypsy existence as a Jill of many trades, a yoga teacher, an art consultant, and a freelance curator. She doesn't like her clients, some of them, as a curator and a consultant. And she's not able to appreciate the jobs that she has as gifts. And she wallows in a pool of lost identity. She looks in the mirror and she sees a woman whose choices have dishonored her true character and her relationships with her romantic interest. She is learning some secrets about her family after her dad dies, and she's really having to restructure herself. And what you see in Love's Troubadours is how everyday decisions affect our future and explores the healing power of love. And what I like to say is that I wrote the book as a love letter to the many, many different ways that people of African descent live and learn and love in the world. And you get to see through the eyes of the 30-something main character, Carmen Francois, you get to see Chicago, you get to see Oakland, San Francisco, a little bit of LA, definitely DC, and her really very, very interesting mama, her twin sister, and her cool cousins, and her escapades with different men and her online dating life. And I say she's like me, but she's not totally like me. So.
So a little bit.
So that's one of my favorite books. And one of the reasons why is because I was able to take my journey in my mindfulness practice as well as yoga, which is a part of mindfulness and meditation, and infuse that into the book. So you get to see how someone utilizes those practices as they are moving through a healing experience, along with the support of a therapist, family, friends, and some really deep, deep healing work, self-development work. So yeah, it's funny. It makes you pause and makes you say, That's the first book. The second book is a memoir. It's called That Which Awakens Me. And it's a creative woman's poetic memoir of self-discovery that takes you on a journey from my life as a young lawyer and investment banker to who I am today as a healing arts and creative entrepreneur who is dabbling in the digital world. And so you get to really walk through the powerful experiences I had in reclaiming my African ancestry, discovering different parts of my family and my ancestors, and taking you through a series of archetypes that I use to get to know myself better. There are photographs in there, my archetypes. I have 8 different archetypes. They explain the legal lady. They explain the creative woman. They explain the woman that likes to dress, the peacemaker. There's all kinds of folks inside of that. But it talks about my spiritual journey and my life in DC. And so the third book, Digital Sisterhood, is a memoir of my digital life and career and how women have played a significant role in getting me online and exposing me to so many different experiences, from my mom to the women that I met at the UN Fourth World Conference on Women in Beijing in 1995. To the work I did at an investment banking firm, which is where I discovered and started my career in digital communications, to now. So it's a love letter to my digital sisters in many ways.
I want to give you some time to go over. You have a lot of robust services, and I really like, even on your website, you can tell the users about it. Like, you have mindful living, mindful creativity, mindful technology, and I do speaking engagements, workshops, coaching. Can you talk a little bit more about your services and maybe even say, kind of give examples of what it might look like?
Sure, sure. Okay. So since we're talking about living, let's start with mindful living.
Okay.
So mindful living is many things to many people. But for me, it's taking the mindfulness practices and really putting them into, I call them like baby-sized bites, you know, small bites that people can take and use and incorporate them into their lives easily, as compared to go take a series of yoga classes. I try to, in my approach with mindful living, to give people things that they can do now without a cute outfit, a class, things that they can take into their daily life. So I use gentle and office yoga. I use journaling. I'm using meditation, of course, writing, long form, not just journaling, like prompting. I use discussions. I use mindful walking. And all of these mindful activities, mindful moments where you pause through your day, all of them are to slow you down and to become aware of your thoughts with compassion and without judgment. And it's to help people focus their concentration. If there's mindful movement, it's to create flexibility in their body. Ultimately, my goal is to give people some self-care practices that will help them experience more balance and ease in their lives. And I do that through group and private classes and trainings and workshops. I'm also available to speak at events. I'm also available to speak on the radio and write articles or do podcasts like I'm doing right now. So that's mindful living. Now, when you talk about mindful creativity, it's similar, but I will say this, that all of us are creative. Mm-hmm. Some of us don't want to claim that or don't know that we can claim it. But I think just like we're all born with mindfulness, creativity is something we're all born with. You don't have to paint or make something, you know, that belongs in a gallery or a museum in order to be creative. We all have that. And we all use creativity in our everyday lives in some shape, way, or form, from what we choose to wear to even the things that we choose to eat, where we choose to go. There are some decisions that we make, and there's some things that we put together, like people decorate their homes or the car color that you pick out, whatever it is, we're using creativity. So in using that gift of creativity, sometimes we experience blocks and challenges. And what I like to do is to help people become aware of and to overcome those blocks and challenges. And using some of the same mindful living techniques and drawing on my experience as an artist in residence and as a writer, I'm helping folks slow down, focus, tap into and listen to their intuition when they are able to slow down, connect with that intuition through journaling, through having some quiet moments, looking at their inner critic, because I think our inner critic mind is called Broomhilda. In the last couple of years, she has a nickname called Broomy. We've softened our relationship. We're better now than we were in the beginning. And I think that when we try to understand our inner critic by becoming friends with it, we can really learn from the inner critic. The inner critic really just wants our attention, and we don't have to follow what the inner critic says, but you can give it attention and acknowledge it.
Right.
And doing all of this again with that practice of non-judgment and self-compassion, at the same time, looking at what are the next steps after you're looking at your blocks and your challenges and your fears. And I'm not saying you do all of this in one session, or that you're going to be able to accomplish this in 6 months, but helping you to identify what are your goals and your action planning, and how are you going to create accountability? And then really taking some small steps to do that, as well as express your creativity fully and getting that support. So again, the support comes through coaching, trainings, workshops, and I'm able to speak about that at events, just like the mindful living. The mindful technology is, in the way that I deliver those services, is similar to the creativity and the living services. What it really focuses on is how are we communicating mindfully with our technology? And when I say technology, I'm talking about email. I'm talking about that texting, the social media, how much time we're spending online, screen time. And I'm also talking about how we, if you're an organization or if you have a personal brand or a business, how are you creating and executing strategies that share content and market your products and services that are done in ways that build and engage online communities that represent your brand and your organization? Like, what's the mission? Is what you're doing supporting that? Also, it's about looking at the actual tools, the social media tools, and how they can help you increase visibility, help you demonstrate thought leadership. And then we get to that digital distraction that we talked about earlier. How can you overcome it with time management and unplugging practices? So that's just a little bit about what I do. And again, those are offered as one-on-one coaching. It could be team coaching, trainings, workshops, webinars. Yeah.
How can people get in contact with you or continue to learn more about your services?
Well, they can go to this wonderful place online called anandaleek.com. It's A-N-A-N-D-A-L-E-E-K-E.com. You can reach me at ananda@anandaleek.com. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn at anandaleek.
Perfect. Okay, Ananda, please tell us, I'm sure you have a few, at least one or two of your daily mantras, and maybe if you could give one for people who feel like there's a lot of chaos going on around them and they're just looking for something to help them bring it back together in that moment.
Sure. One thing that I do in the morning is, I can't say this is something I created. Again, I want to give it credit to Reverend Michael Bernard Beckwith of Agape, is that I begin with just a thank you to Creator Spirit, the universe, for waking me up. I am grateful. Thank you. And then I move into, I surrender to the highest spirit within me. And then I ask, what would you have me be, think, feel, say, and do this day? What is my divine assignment? Those are some questions and some statements that I use. Now, in those moments when it's just crazy, I call it cray cray. I say, I surrender to the highest spirit within me. What is my next best step? When I can't do anything, I say, help. What is my next best step? And I have asked that question minutes after each minute, after each next step. And I trust that the universe will respond to me. In doing that, if you can't do any of that, and I'm there some days, a lot of days more than most think, I take a very deep breath in and out. Usually when I do that 3 to 7 times, that can settle me down into a place. If I'm able to, if this is happening to me in the workplace or I'm out and about, if I can get to a bathroom stall, because I love bathroom stalls for those mindful moments, I will go there and have a private breathing. I'll do probably some yoga in the handicapped bathroom.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, girl, I do that. I know that I try to like honor everyone, but that's, yeah, I go to the last stall, the first stall, so that I can breathe. If I cannot escape the place that I'm at, if I'm with folks, I'll just begin breathing. I bring my my hands together. I just hold my hands. That can bring me some comfort as I'm breathing in and out. I'm checking in with my shoulders. The yoga teacher in me always knows, like, I carry stress in my shoulders. So I'm inhaling my shoulders up. I'm rolling them back. Sometimes it's just inhaling up and letting them come down nice and slow. If I'm in my own presence, if I'm in a cubicle or an office by myself, I touch my face like a child, a mom, or an adult holds a child's face, and I breathe in and out. I find that to be very comforting. I also hold my head like Yanla Van Zandt has helped us all when she says, save yourself. Your hand is at your forehead, and the other hand is in the back of your head. Uh-huh. And I'm breathing in and out. I learned that from her in the 90s. That was a good one. It really does. I'll touch my heart and I'll breathe in and out. There is a wonderful loving kindness prayer and meditation that I do. And it's something I wanted to share with the audience. You just take a deep breath right where you are. You can say it out loud or say it to yourself. May I be peaceful, happy, and free of suffering. May I be peaceful, happy, and free of suffering. If you want to do that for others, you can do it for your loved ones. and just insert the name or just say your loved ones. You can also do it for people who are neutral, like maybe neighbors, folks that you pass by each day. You can also do it for folks that you're having difficulty with. That's a good one. I'm currently using that. I'm using all of them, but that focusing on the challenges I'm having with folks, that is a powerful one. And then you can use it for just everyone and everything in the universe. And that compassion, that loving kindness really goes a long way. That's more than one thing. So that try to give a number of different ways people can connect with themselves mindfully.
Well, I feel more relaxed myself. Okay. Like, I'll sleep good tonight.
All right now. That's a wonderful thing.
Anandalik, thank you so much for coming to the Early Accountability Podcast and helping myself and the audience become more aware and giving us some tips on how we can practice mindfulness in different domains of our lives. Anandalik.com, leek spelled L-E-E-K-E. Please check her out. She has services for individuals, groups, organizations. Definitely a powerhouse and a guru in the mindfulness field. Thank you again, Ananda, for your time.
All right. Can I give one more resource I forgot to mention? Sure. So everyone, I host the Thriving Mindfully podcast that is on SoundCloud. There are over 70 episodes that you can take advantage of. And the great thing about the episodes is that many of them have guided meditation. Some of them are mini workshops in mindful creativity and technology and living. There are playlists in each of those areas. So go to soundcloud.com/Ananda-leek, or you can find the link on my website. If you're in the DC area, Washington, DC metropolitan area, as a visitor or as a resident, I encourage you to check out the Thriving Mindfully Meetup Group. It is a community that I launched earlier this year. And I have to say that every week on Mondays, we meet in DC for the Mindful Monday Meditation. It's held from 6:15 to 7:30 p.m. at Key Kratom CBDT, which is 1517 U Street Northwest. You can find out more by going to meetup.com/thriving-mindfully-meetup. So those are my two plugs. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Definitely check out the multitude of resources that Ananda gave us. So really no excuse. You have multiple ways to get mindfulness and just bringing yourself back in and getting back grounded. So thank you again, Ananda. Thank you so much for your presence and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
Thank you. Until next time.
It was a pleasure to have you join us on this episode of the Early Accountability Podcast with Kimmy Walker. Be sure to visit earlyaccountability.com to sign up for the Early Accountability newsletter. We look forward to activating your greatness and helping you reach your goals.